The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined Tuesday, April 9th by Mr. Denny Carter and an extremely special guest, the Athletic Football Show's Nate Tice. He's writing over at Yahoo. He is educating Denny and I on positions that exist in football. He was just before we came on the air, told us about guard and center.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, we've never heard of that before. But Nate, truly one of the best in the biz. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention right off the jump. He's over at, Denny insists on calling it X. At Nate_Tice. Yeah. Again, the writings at Yahoo, the podcasting is on the wherever you can find athletic podcasts with Mr. Robert Mays, another friend of the show, and Mr. Dane Brugler, seriously the absolute best in the prospect business. There's so much good stuff from Nate. I'm just going to keep talking and never let him talk.
Yeah, I know.
really good idea for me too, since I'm losing my voice. How you doing, Nate?
No, as someone that has, before the show, you're like, how long, kind of have, I could have told you, is like the easiest bet in sports or easiest bet is that I will go over on every appearance that I've ever been on. So I can assure you that, but I'm doing very well. I've noticed this is so zoomed up on me right now. I got knocked in my face by my 16, 17-month-year-old son the other day while watching Bluey. Took a bottle to the eye, and I'm just noticing. It's like my wife is like, right before I came on, she's like, hey, it's not looking good right now. It's like, great, I'm about to be on camera.
It's so, the classic, every podcaster is like, oh my God, I've got like one off-color blemish on the lower right quadrant of my face. And my wife's always like, what? I'm like,
no one cares.
Although your wife did the opposite. She said it's very visible.
She goes, it looks worse today. Cool. She's like, are you gonna be on camera? I'm like, yeah. She's like,
she gave you some makeup, I think.
The first podcaster uses makeup.
I've done that once or twice on like a really bad one.
I cut myself shaving a few weeks ago, and I was like, I showed my wife, and I was like, I can't. What am I gonna do? I can't go on camera like this. And she was like, I don't see anything. I'm like, my face is open and it's bleeding. That's what's
red spot.
So how do we not see that right now?
See, Nate, I'm the opposite. I just don't shave. I just like that's this great part about working at home and not having to interact with too many humans on a day-to-day business. I just don't shave.
I shave twice a day. For both of us.
No one is more devoted to shaving than Denny. Denny knows I'm devoted to shaving right before the podcast always. So I'm always like really chancing it. Like, well, today there's just going to be a huge cut on my lip. And I just try, it's like bleeding during the show. I'm just trying to pretend nothing's going on.
Pat tries to time his shave so that he shaves within 12 seconds of the start of the podcast.
That's barely an exaggeration.
We sparred for 90 seconds before we came on air, and that's what happened. It's just whatever bruises or cuts, you just come on and just roll with it and never acknowledge it would be great. That's what I should do, is I should just come up with a bigger wound with each show and just never ever acknowledge. I did that last year. I had a skin thing taken off. Yeah, this is great podcasting. I love this. Great guest. I'm going to come back on every week, right? Taken off. And I just came on the air with just this big bandage just for like 2 weeks. Just never acknowledged it. Never talked about it. And a couple people were like, is Nate okay? Like, is he just bleeding from the ear?
I think Nate was cut by a loan shark. And you make fun of that not being podcast material. Denny and I, it's like all we do is talk about stuff that's not podcast material. It's taking all my discipline, by the way. You mentioned 90 seconds. For me not to talk about the eclipse for 90 seconds, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to talk about the eclipse. We're going to talk about Nate's. We told Nate, don't Don't talk about guards or center. We don't even know what those are. We want to know about your favorite skill player position prospects, and not necessarily favorite, just some interesting guys you want to talk about. We're, of course, going to start at quarterback. I think we'll start with a fairly big name, Nate. But who is the first quarterback you want to talk about? Someone who may or may not have gone number two in your most recent mock draft, Mr. Charles McDonald.
Yeah, and nice little pun in there. May or may not. And that is Mr. Drake May. And that is from North Carolina. I've kind of like associated with this guy because he's number one on my big board. And I stuck with it. This has been since last summer when I was really ranking these guys with Dane. And I think him and Caleb Williams are just special. I think Caleb's the number one pick. I think everyone's just kind of going, yeah, no kidding, Nate. Way to really just tell us that. I won the Heisman, all this stuff. But May, to me, does a lot of the things, and I understand I'm on a fantasy show here. So that was also great, Patrick, where you're like, sorry, we're just going to talk skill guys. It's like, oh, really? Yeah. Is this IDP show? Can we talk about some of that stuff? Yeah,
we're talking some IDL. Yeah.
We have fantasy and bio on this show.
Yeah. We do literally a fantasy and bio.
but with May, he, to me, has all the attributes of the skill set, the mindset, too, of what the elite quarterbacks look like. The very good, at the very least, quarterbacks look like. If you talk about not even just top two, top four, but top eight guys. That's aggressive, big, athletic. I think even fantasy-wise, that's been underrated, even just some of the stuff I've read. May is one of the best scramblers we've seen come out of college, and he's an efficient scrambler. He's not going to be a Josh Allen level of a rushing yardage, but he'll be pretty good at it, racking up some touchdowns and racking up some yards. And I think that's been underrated with him, is his kind of athleticism and creativity, his competitiveness as well, coming from like a family of athletes. But to me, there might be some learning curve as he learns what he can and cannot get away with at the next level. But he's this big game hunter that I think a lot of teams would kill for, especially if he develops how I think he'll develop. And I think he'll hit the ground running quicker than I think people are anticipating. So I'm very high on him. Obviously, he has my number one guy. Saying that, as I like Caleb Williams a ton, but I think May is just as big of a prize as Williams is.
Nate, I heard you on a recent athletic football show talk about the footwork aspect of Drake May and questions arising about that footwork. Is that an issue that can be ironed out on the next level? And did it have anything to do with the kind of offense that North Carolina ran with Drake May under center?
I'll start with your last point. Yes, it did have to deal with the offense that Drake May was in. That wasn't very detail oriented. And I think it's kind of getting lost by the backup quarterback brigade right now. It's not, Bill Walsh isn't coaching him, guys. this guy is kind of doing everything for his offense and making it work in an offense that would be, if you just took an average college quarterback in there, that team's winning three games, four games. Like, that is not a good team that he had around him. I think it is fixable, because even just if you want a narrative scout and just before you even watch the guy, he's young and he's athletic, which is okay. He has room to grow. And I think that's why you can just say, like, okay, right there, narrative wise, oh yeah, I could fix that. But watching him, I think some of the footwork stuff, like you said, Denny, what you alluded to, is that that's just kind of how the offense is. They float to space. They move to space. A lot of traditional NFL offenses are 1-2-3 ball out, right. 1-2-3 hitch ball out, all that. The thing is, I see him do that. That's why I'm not as concerned. I see him operate on time and operate in that way. It's just not the whole menu of things that you watch him do is involving that. So you are projecting a little bit, but to me, it's like, he's already doing it. It might not be every play. It's already there. And he has the tool set that I think it could prove. So yes, long story short, if you want one sentence, which he'll never get from me, yes, I think he can improve on it.
What do you think the chances are that, especially early in, if he starts, week one for whoever drafts him, that we're going to get some like hair on fire play from Drake May. Is that a likelihood, or do you think that can be reined in early on?
I think there are going to be some stretches where it's like a pick and then the next play he's taking a sack. And it's just like, okay, I think he'll come to the league, and I'm not saying this is a one-to-one, but I'm saying maybe stylistically how he's played, maybe year two of Josh Allen. Where it was like, you see like, oh shoot. But then you see like three plays, you're like, okay, all right. Back to the drawing board. I think he's just in fantasy terms, I think he's going to be more viable. And I don't believe in the year sitting thing, like with him, because I think that to me is more of a mental thing coming from a, an offense where they don't have to handle much. It's a very simple offense, which I think it was, but they put a lot on his plate. So as far as mentally stuff, like as I'm talking about mental, talk about intelligence, but as far as
great like, at mental, that,
yeah, as far as all that kind of stuff. So that's why I think he'll hit the ground running quicker than I think people are anticipating, because I think mentally he's more advanced than he's been getting credit for.
Well, Nate, that's just a really interesting like point. I feel like on Drake May being maybe more ready made than people are giving him credit for. Cause I do feel like he's talked about a lot as like, he's kind of a projectable guy. Whereas I just like look at it on paper. I mean, I try not to remember like some of the crazy stuff I saw in the games. Like he's a pretty conventional prospect where he's young. He's huge. He was pretty productive in college. And so sometimes I feel like people just like really like oversell like the supposed, not that a lot of people are doing this because he's still a consensus top two or three guy, of course, but like that. Yeah. I feel like it's kind of being oversold that he's like a projectable guy that no, he's like a ready-made NFL franchise quarterback. And of course it might not work because these things right. fail a lot. But like, I don't really see many, you can nitpick anyone's resume, but I feel like that's what you have to do with Drake Maye is nitpick and not really. Yeah. And this is more on paper. Then I haven't like I'm not a film guy, but yeah, that's just kind of how I feel.
But statistically, I'm totally with you, and that's like especially last year, which is I think in Lost in a Shuffle, everyone goes, "Oh, he regressed." I was like, "Well, situation regressed. He actually improved. He as far as just the mechanical stuff and as far as some of the mindset stuff." But it was he has one NFL player playing with him who is a guy that people are hyping up, Deontez Walker, but to me is like a day three guy, like a round four, round five guy. One. And he's making him look like at times people are going, that guy might go in the first round because the quarterback's putting on the freaking money. It's like, you know, you got to kind of reverse engineer some of it. And I think even statistically, like you look at EPA, you look at big time throw rate, you look at, like I mentioned again, the scrambling stuff, like even statistically, he was, I think, the second most efficient scrambler as far as first downs per scramble, I think on record. And wow. like, really? You know, so there's like underlying stats with him that are really good. And then you have the trait stuff and the big arm. He's throwing downfield. The eyes, I think, are good. And I think he's going to interview well. And that's why it's weird. It's like people learn the wrong lessons with a lot of other guys. They're watching Brock Purdy and they go, no, that's what we want, as opposed to the real elite guys that are at the top. I don't know. It's like the lessons are a little wrong to me. We don't know. But maybe draft day he goes two and it's just like, I will forget about this. But like the last couple of months have been very weird, I think, for me.
So we'll get into this in a few minutes here. But I do think that the idea of the NFL as a league that's evolving into like a check down league has tainted the way that we see a guy like Drake May. Is like he has a big arm. So what? No one throws downfield anymore like that. You know, we don't do that anymore. And so I do think that 5 years ago, 8 years ago, Drake May would have been seen maybe as a challenger for the, you know, for number one overall in the draft because of that athleticism. Now it's like, no. Yeah. Like you said, you got Purdy, you got Tua, you got these guys who don't have great physical skills, but can operate highly efficient offenses that score a lot of points. So I think that has kind of colored the way that people look at Drake May.
Yeah, those guys to me, Purdy, Tua, and stuff like that, and I totally get what you're saying. It's like the kind of accuracy, timing, winning, and those offenses and everything. And I think when you're going, I think those guys need more situation to boost them up, but I still think they have a high floor and everything. And that's why like a guy like May is, I see what you're saying with all the defenses. Explosive plays are so hard to come by now. And it's because more zone coverages, more stuff that these teams are doing. Everyone's running very similar defenses now, most of the league. And I know you wrote about it recently, right? And when you, with those defenses, they are daring you to try and find an explosive play, either by the run game or a quarterback having to make a hard throw. I call them hero throws.
Just call them Allen throws.
Allen throws. Or really, I think the guy I think of right now is Brady when he was with the Bucks. And he's just like launching, I mean, just stuff over the middle. And that's what the guys have to do now. They have to have that prerequisite skill, the balls to do this and the timing and the arm strength. Because, and this is why I think one of the receivers in this draft, Malik Nabers, is getting a boost. Explosive plays are just so hard to come by. You need the guys that can create those. It's like a guy, it's a lot of average and on base percentage right now, but you need the slugging percentage too.
Yes.
To kind of boost it out. So that's why I like May a ton, because he can open up those opportunities that I think really only Caleb Williams is the other guy that can do it as much as he can, and the legs and all that. So I get what you're saying. You have to show that you can check it down and be safe. Mm-hmm. But when the opportunities are there, you have to push it. You have to be, you know, Stafford in the Super Bowl throwing the no look stuff. You have to be even Burrow. They've had to change their game a little bit in that they were getting so many explosives that they had to become a check down team. They were the opposite of most teams. The other teams are having to find explosive plays the opposite way. So it's kind of a you need the guy that can get those opportunities when they're there, because defenses will show it, but it's hard to get them.
Sure. Denny, Nate is a true football knower, and he still knows what slugging percentage is. Nothing is preventing you from knowing things about baseball.
What's preventing me from being like Nate Tice and knowing things about baseball?
Exactly. What is preventing you? What's preventing us from talking about one of 10, I feel like 19th year seniors in this quarterback class, Mr. Spencer Rattler, who has been in college football, I mean, literally since before the pandemic, was when this guy started playing. And all like the day two or three oxygen, Nate, is being taken up by Michael Penix and Bo Nix. But where does Spencer Rattler get into this conversation? I honestly don't know a ton about like the draft perception of Spencer Rattler and like where he's projected to go. And what makes Spencer Rattler interesting as a name, and what is a deeper quarterback class by recent NFL standards?
Rattler, he's been on the radar for forever. He was my preseason QB1 in the 2022 draft,
which would 2014. 2014 draft.
So 2014. I think he was going against Cam Newton and Gabbert, I think, were the guys. But with Rattler, the number one thing with him in a negative sense is he's had character stuff as far as he's selfish, isolated. I'm not speaking out of school here. That's a Norm Macdonald thing. Remember, I was just talking about pre-show, talking about like things that you just say. I just stole a Norm Macdonald line.
I've internalized so many Norm Macdonald lines. I know. So I just, no judgment there.
Based off a lot of my life viewings from him, but for better or for worse. Going with that is that he was on a documentary in high school, and you see him yelling at teammates and stuff. And I think there's a lot of truth to that as far as behind the scenes. His last year, apparently, he showed some maturity, and he has a lot of red alerts for me. First, the character stuff. Then he's not that big. He's not that fast. He did not time well. He did run the 40, which I will commend him for. A lot of guys are just skipping it now.
He did. He ran it poorly.
So it's like he filled out his name on the SAT, and that's all he did. Exactly. And he got those points, though. But he can do things that other guys, I think, Penix and Nix. I'll just combine them. Picks.
Yeah. Let's be real. They're going to be throwing a lot of picks.
Oh, my God. Oh, but he can spin it. He's an eye test guy. He's like, and that's why when we're talking about day two, maybe day three guys, that's what you're going on. You're going on a guy that can move in the pocket, throw a guy open. He had a terrible situation in South Carolina this last year, and he kept battling back and making these throws and making his teammates better. So he's a guy that, again, I see him more of as a round three guy. I see all these guys, Nix, Penix, and him, as round three types. But it's one that I would take a chance on because he unlocks things that I think Penix and Nix do not, as far as their throwing styles and everything. But his another negative is Derek Klassen, who I think does a good job with the quarterback stuff, and really a lot. Every position. Yeah, but he had a great kind of line about Rattler, is that he kind of has the Baker Mayfield problem, where he thinks he's a better athlete than he is. So he tries to run past guys, and then you just see this defensive tackle running him down like slowly. He does have that issue.
I respect Baker so much for thinking he's fast, you know, because I think I'm fast too. I'm not, but I do. And so I can relate to Baker thinking that he can sprint outside the pocket.
Baker loves like the high step guys.
He does. Career Russell Wilson, of course, too. And it's better to think you're fast than you're slow, probably.
That's funny. For years on our pod, before anyone was listening, I always refer to Baker as Russell Wilson without the athleticism. And then now we're seeing that right now. Now they're like level. And it's like, yes. I didn't mean that literally, but here we are.
Baker tide has risen. The Russell tide is out to sea. That's interesting. So you think Spencer Rattler is – there's no such thing as for sure. You think he's a for sure day two pick?
Yeah, I no way around one. I don't think anyone's sniffing that. That's kind of crazy for me with the Knicks and Penix stuff, even going round one. They have so many alarm bells for me that I'm really? I think they're all interesting round three guys. Like, if you just whatever flavor you like. I think these guys are all as high-end backups, maybe spot starters. Like Knicks, I've been kind of referring to him as Heineke Plus. Like that's kind of how I picture him, like a real good backup, start you one or two games. And then you're like, yeah, that's why you're not a starter. Never mind. But and then Penix to me is kind of a Diet Coke, Byron Leftwich, like, you know, just needs a big platform, kind of the big operating area to throw from, will push the ball, but then just kind of has some accuracy stuff that I kind of keeps me away from them. And they're old. Penix got injury stuff, so that's other alerts for them. So yeah, all of them kind of late day two guys, but I'm curious for the landing spots, because it's like a guy like Rattler, say he ends up round three to the Rams, then it's like, okay, like that's interesting to me, getting him with McVay and behind Stafford, chilling out a little bit. Like, but if he goes to, I'm just making up a team here, the Cardinals, the Cowboys, you know, like something like that, I'll be, the Jags, you know, like that would be interesting, not as much fun for me.
Yeah, like a team that just might actually develop them. A team that might not have to throw them into the fire like way too soon. It might just actually develop them. Sorry, Denny, you had something on the tip of your tongue.
Well, I was just going to say that the Penix Leftwich comp is off for this reason. You know, Penix, unlike Leftwich, doesn't take 11 seconds to wind up to throw. And I think that's what I remember most from Byron Leftwich, is just him just taking forever to throw the darn ball.
The ball would come down to his knee as he was wide up to throw. And then it comes from their strides. They both take huge strides when they throw. So that's where the comparison comes from. And then someone took it and I was like, the pun was staring at me right in the face. They go, he's Byron Leftwich. And I was like, oh,
the lefty. There you go.
It was too easy. That's why I didn't. That's why I haven't used it this whole time.
The Zoomers really should look up YouTube highlights of Byron Leftwich. It would be hard to believe, especially like the kind of modern football we've gotten used to. He was just before it.
People are freaking out about Reggie White highlights. And I was just like, oh, and that made me feel old. I was like, oh, wow. I mean, I was like 10 then. It's like I still remember it at least.
I know. It's true. It's very depressing. But Byron Leftwich, look it up if you do not know.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Nate, with the receivers, you just said you wanted to buy any wide receiver who played for the University of Washington.
Yeah.
Let's start with the big one, the one whose last name I still struggle to pronounce, Rome Odunze.
Yep,
what do you want people to know about Rome? Who you? Yeah, I think you had the Chicago Bears trading up for Rome at number six. Maybe it was Charles. Maybe it wasn't you.
Charles did. We had fun there.
Yeah, so you guys have the Chicago Bears trading up for Rome Odunze at number six. What do we need to know about Rome? Who there's just like a lot to know about.
Yeah, he's checks every box like with Sharpie and circles it at receiver. He's good at everything. Is he exceptional at everything? I don't know. I wouldn't say that, but he's such a player that is the highest compliment I can give a player is that they're scheme and situation proof, meaning that a bad coach or a bad quarterback is not going to screw him up. Like they're still going to be able to contribute and be a good player. Statistically, sometimes I don't know, but as far as like maybe just an football blocking, all the stuff that I get, you know, geeked up on that you guys probably really said, my late night tweets during the season. But with Odunze, I've kind of compared him to like a plus version of Chris Godwin, where he can play from the slot, he can play outside, he's a ball winner, he's pretty good with the ball in his hands, he's a good route runner. Again, good, very good in some ways. He's big, he's like 215.
I was gonna say, don't bury the lead, he's actually big.
He's 215 and ran a 4.4, low 4.4, mid 4.4, and people are surprised by that. It's like, just watch him. He's running by guys. He's just, to me, I think coaches are going to love him. I think everyone's going to love him. I think he's another guy that they want to be a contributor and grow into a potential number one guy, which is all you can ask for, is that day one they contribute and they have that room for growth. So I think some people are saying that maybe he's maxed out as far as how much more he can grow. But I still think that's a high ceiling. So it's like, all right, well, if we're 90% there, that's pretty cool. Like, that's not a bad thing, I think, because of what his skill set is. But good hands, just does everything so well. I just think he's going to be a really, really good pro.
Yeah, I feel like if he's maxed out, he's entering the NFL maxed out in the same way that Joe Burrow was. Like, oh, right. Yeah, I mean, pretty amazing.
Good maxed out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, but we could work with that maxed out.
Yeah. Oh, so maxed out's Pro Bowl? Okay.
Maxed out is right. 1,700 yards and on a national championship team? That seems pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
We will do that. So Roma Dunze, I think, is good. I think Denny thinks is good.
I can't remember.
You think he's good? We think he's good, but I know less about Jalen Pope.
Yeah.
Can't speak. Polk. Tell us about what we need to know about Jalen Pope.
I'm the worst person to ask for names, by the way. I just look at Danny.
No, Denny knows. No one. You're not worse than me.
Oh, no one's worse than
that. I apparently can't
say. How many replies a day do you get when people, any name I get wrong, I get replies for months about it. It's like, dude, it's like one misstep. It's like, oh,
it's nice black, man. Come on.
I called Paul Atreides, Paul Arrakis on our pod yesterday, and I've gotten at least a dozen people hitting me up about it.
No, you will never hear the end of that.
Nerd card, done. Done. I lit my nerd card like I was a boy in Vietnam. Like it was just that was it. It was like
the Dune Truthers are coming for you forever.
There's a lot of them. I didn't.
Yeah. Really, how have you not become one yet? It seems very on brand for you to be a Dune Truther.
Me?
Yeah.
Are you doing that? There's too much going on. I would need to dedicate my entire life to it for 3 years to become a.
You will. It's somewhat. You'll do it 20 years after the fact, though. That's what you always do with cultural stuff.
That's true. Yeah. Right. When I'm 60, I'll be into it.
It's like everyone's like, you got to read the Game of Thrones series or a Song of Ice and Fire series. It's like, it's not done.
Close to done.
Yeah. He probably dies, so I'm gonna have some other guy reading the last one. The books, it's just too much. That's a lot of investment. I got an hour and a half to do to have my time every night, 8 to 10 p.m. I can maybe squeeze in, you know, my 50 pages of reading.
Yeah, there's so much Game of Thrones, so much Dune lore. There's a lot of Washington receiver lore.
Yes. Tell us about Jalen Pope. So back to Jalen Pope.
I like going far afield, but I got that segue in my mind. Like I gotta hit this one.
Half of Robert's job is just reeling me back in as I start talking about Bluey and stuff. But Jalen Polk is everything I just said about Dunze, and I feel like I'm being lazy here. He checks every box, but he's a Diet Coke version of Dunze. I don't think of him as an upside of a number one, but I think he's going to be a really, really good number two in this league. Maybe to that Robert Woods kind of tier. Like that's kind of where I see his upside being. He's not the best athlete. He's more of an adequate athlete. But he can play inside. He can play outside. He blocks real well. He's a great zone beater type. Like he's going to be a third down team that opposing fans just hate. Like on third down, there's another Polk first down. They're like, oh, Polk guy. And then they look at his stats and it's like, he had 3 catches for 58 yards. And it's like, yeah, all one for first downs. Like, you know, it's just one of those types of guys. But he, I just like him. I think he's just going to be a good pro. Again, I don't know what his upside is. I think it's lower. Than a lot of guys that maybe he will go in. I'm probably one of the higher guys on him. I have him in my 30s of my big board. Dane probably has him around 50 to 60, you know, kind of the late second, early third, which is where I think he will go. He's a second round type that I'm kind of, I do play a lot of Dynasty. I am kind of looking at him as like a round 3 guy I can maybe get as someone that can sneak in, because I think he can maybe just be that kind of good starter for a while, even if he won't be that Pro Bowl level type of guy.
Makes a lot of sense with Mr. Jalen Polk. How old is he, by the way? Because I know he's another guy who transferred. It was only one transfer. Yeah. Is he entering as more like a finished product?
I think so too. He's still only 21. So he is a younger, but he, to okay, me, because
good news.
He's not a freak athlete. He's just, like I say, just a solid athlete. And it shows up on film too. Like he'll beat a guy, catch it, and then it gets tackled maybe a yard later. He's not going to break a guy off, but it's fine because everything to that point is good. He doesn't have separation issues that you maybe see some of these guys, because he has good strength and everything. So there's just a lot to like with him that, again, it might be more of a real football good player that has decent
first downs. Decent stats. We don't care about those in
fantasy. I know you don't care about first downs. Like that's the thing. Is like, I don't think he might be an 800 yard type guy with some decent amount of touchdowns that spots in, but he's a guy that maybe has more than that. Say he goes to the Bills or even the Chiefs in round 2. Like it could be a really good situation for that, where he fills in as a super role player.
What is your gut? Second or third round for Jalen Pope, by the way?
And second is where I think. Good.
That's important in Dynasty. I feel like getting in that second round is very, very important for a Dynasty receiver. One of the never-ending Washington wide receivers, who is the final Husky wide receiver we need to talk about?
Yes, Jalen McMillan. No relation to Nate, but he is – I stained that right away when I learned about him. It's like Seattle.
It is the spelling. It's the weird spelling, too.
Yeah.
I'm more used to the O-N.
Yeah, especially – Mac and Mick, we gotta get that.
The Irish
and all that. Yeah, but to him, I think his upside to me, and I think this is pretty decent upside, is a Christian Kirk type, where slot vertical kind of intermediate vertical type of guy. Again, another guy. Even if he's the third guy I'm listing here, I don't have him that much further down. I have him more as like an early third. I know that's like splitting hairs, but maybe a half tier below Polk. But he's a good athlete. Again, I think he's gonna be more from the slot. But I think still he has upside to be a very good number two type. And again, he will be maybe more boom busty as far as statistically, where he'll have a big yardage game and then the next game, not a lot of catches and not a lot of yards. Some of those slot vertical guys can be like that, like Kirk can, depending on game plan and all that kind of stuff. But I think he's going to find a home because another guy that just does a lot of things well, even if he's a little smaller, he's a different type of flavor than the other two, but I think teams are going to like him. And shoot, Derek Lassen, I'll bring him up again. He sees him ahead of Polk and had him ranked highly for Bleacher Report right now. But there's fans of him around the league. I see him more as a round three guy. But depending, again, on that situation, he could be a nice explosive weapon for somebody.
Why did McMillan, by the way, and I guess he missed a few games last year. What was up with like the bigs? Was it just the receiver core too talented? And because he was almost 1,100 yards in 2022. Yeah.
He battled an injury and he kept trying to play with it and kind of get knocked out. So he played early, got hurt middle of the year, and then played at the end. But he was productive before that. Like last year, he was super productive as well.
He was.
And just Polk came in and it was just kind of like, hey.
He's the classic looking. He looks like he should have like entered the draft last year, probably looking at his
especially last year's draft.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have gone round two in last year. I think if we knew that he would test like this too.
Nate, can you confirm my theory that McMillan has excessive dog levels?
I think he does have excessive
dog. I just feel like every time I see a clip of him, I'm like, jeez. Guy has dog in him.
That's why I love these guys. Is all of them are like good. Like they're just good. Like it's hard to pick one that I love. Well, dudes, I love the most. Let's be honest. But the other two, it's like. I don't know. They both have dog levels. They have high dog levels.
Oh yeah, Adunze too. Yeah.
Just going through like all their draft stuff and like just looking at their stats. I'm just like, man, Washington has got to replace a lot of production. In 2024.
Yeah, and the offensive coordinator is gone, and
the coach is gone. Everyone who contributed whatsoever is gone.
A round one left tackle, a round three right tackle, I think, that won the top offensive line of the year. Washington might have a little drop this year. But
I guess who is there, though? Bill Belichick, everybody. Yes, so it's fine. It's all fine. We got so many – let's talk about Ladd McConkey real quick. We're getting a little excited. He's the very interesting prospect. So just like – he's a box checker. Tell us about Lab. Is he ahead of the Washington guys?
He is. He's one spot ahead of me than Polk, but I have him right next to each other. Ladd's awesome. Ladd rocks. He's not a slot guy. He's an outside guy that can play in the slot. My comparison for him has been Emmanuel Sanders. And again, when we're talking, that's the difference, I think, with him and Polk. Is Polk, because Ladd's faced a lot of injuries as well. You know, just kind of not that elite or better good body type as well. Where it's the difference where Polk, I feel safer, even if Ladd does do a lot of things. I could picture him. Ladd, there's some landing spots where it's like, okay, I like him better here than other spots, but he's a great route runner. He's a great athlete. He's got good hands. I called it, this isn't going to hit. Denny doesn't like baseball, but they call it pitch tunneling, where it's like two pitches look the same. His is route tunneling.
Like that's amazing. All these routes, that's a great concept.
Yeah, all the routes look the same, and then he can break off of all those. So I really like Ladd. But talking about high end number two, maybe even could be a target eater in a certain types of offenses where they're the kind of low end one. He can eat that. Like, he is like, a volume will never be an issue for him because he can get open and he's a good athlete. It's just really just staying healthy for him.
I was gonna say, he's just got to stay healthy because the size is pretty great too for the kind of player he needs to be. Like, he's over 6 foot, right? And yep. He's under 4'4". Just stay healthy, man. So you think he is like a no doubt second round pick? I know I'm not suggesting first, but you think he's like safely in like the 33?
I'd put it top 40. I would not even just say second round. I would say even top 40. Because there's been some round one talk with him, like late, like 32, you know, to the Chiefs, something like 28.
That'd be cool. Really.
That would be
great. Oh, the Chiefs want to be amazing. I know. Please. It's, yeah, that would be a real fun one.
Yeah, but this is the first time I've ever heard a conversation about Ladd McConkey without Cooper Kupp coming up. So I think we did.
They're so opposite. They're completely different. The player that plays most like Cooper Kupp is Brock Bowers, like that, which is funny.
Yeah,
like,
you know, that's, that, yeah.
Shoot,
yeah,
even like Polk plays more like Cooper Kupp than Ladd McConkey does. I always want to say Ladd McConkey for some reason, but it's just, there's no L. It's I've had
hearing Bowers comped to Kupp just leads my Bowers gonna be automatic bust. It's too small, man. We can't be comping my, even if he's a pass catcher.
Well, and I think that used properly, I think that he can be really good. And you wrote Nate, you wrote a really good piece on Bowers and how he is going to need to be used in a certain way that is not used, that is not fit the traditional tight end role in the NFL. I have very little confidence that whoever drafts him is going to understand that, and they're just going to be like, kid, you're a tight end, go play tight end.
That's it. It's so much like my angel and devil on my shoulders, where I'm like, well, if he goes with the Rams or he goes with, you know, the Colts, or even if he goes with the Broncos, yeah, they're going to use him like this, and Sean Payton loves these guys, and it's like, he's going to go with like Nathaniel Hackett, you know, like what I mean? It's just going to, it's, that's what's going to happen. And, and everyone's going to go, you had him as your fourth guy. It's like, no, I know, but he's really good. Trust me. And I think what you're saying, Denny, is like, you do have to break your brain a little bit with him because he's his own thing. And I hate using the term, and I keep using it though, is the offensive weapon thing, because he's just his own thing. He lined up in the slot more than he lined up as a tight end. And, but he won from there. And like, you know, and like you said, there's got to be, he's more situation dependent than you'd want a true elite guy to be.
So why, this is a real question.
Yeah.
And I'm almost afraid to ask it. Why doesn't he just enter the draft as a receiver?
It's I don't know. It just gets labeled that way. Because he does do the tight end stuff. He does line up there, like as far as blocking and all that. So I think that's just what it is.
I mean, if I were him, and the pay scale alone would say, no, I'm a receiver. Don't dare call me a tight end.
Yeah, I know, right? He should, especially the volume he'll get. Yeah. If this were 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I would just really be like, yeah, man, I've watched how NFL coaches use tight ends. There's no chance. There's only three spots. Watching how Ben Johnson for the Lions used Laporta, how Dalton Kincaid got used with the Bills, what the Packers did with their guys, who I like both of them, Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, even how the Rams used their guys, it's made me a little more optimistic about how receiving only quote unquote tight ends are used, because they're, these coaches being younger, they're not going like, well, you got to block them.
These coaches played Madden.
Seriously though, they're like, there is something to that where they go, well, he can't block, but he can beat that safety. So it split them out. And so they've gotten a lot more creative of hiding these guys. And that's made me more optimistic about Bowers. You got to see it sometimes, but seeing how Laporta, Kincaid, half dozen other guys are getting used, and everyone's going to start stealing it, you know, because everyone's going to watch. And this spring, it's made me a little bit more lenient on this guy about, like, okay, they can find ways to make him work where he can stay on the field. That's another thing too with Bowers, and why even fantasy wise, I'm pretty high on him, is that he's going to be on the field every snap. Like, he's not going to come off the field ever, because he'll be a slot. And then when they're in big tight ends or big personnel, he'll be the wing tight end. So he'll never have to come off the field. So that's why he'll get that usage, I think, no matter what.
I hope so.
With Bowers, so too, you made an really important point about, like, we're not breaking news by saying, like, well, it just really depends on where he lands. But, like, if you're going to be a positionless player, so to speak, you can't end up with a positionless coach, so to speak. Like, Nathaniel Hackett, like, are you a head coach? Are you a coordinator? I don't know what you do.
Arthur Smith.
Are you good at any of this? And we need Brock Bowers with someone who's
I like the term positionless coach, passing game coordinator.
Exactly. Yeah, passing it. Get out of here. Come on, man.
That's what it is.
Running.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm traumatized by the Kyle Pitts experience, but you know, he comes out and he can do everything. He's basically a wide receiver, and he does nothing, you know, for fantasy purposes for 3 years. And it's because he went to a team and a coach that didn't have any interest in actually utilizing that skill set.
That was the thing with Pitts. They were trying to grow him into this other role. They're trying to like be like, hey, in 2 years, they're going to grow you into, you know, I'm not going to compare them, but like we can keep you in line like a Gronk or a Kittle, not to like their extent, but like we can do all that with you. It just never clicked. And then he gets hurt and it's just kind of like, all right, but you're not winning the one-on-ones like we need you to be if you're going to be a full-time receiver. So it's like he's not Pitts. But that's why the Pitts and Bowers stuff is that they're so opposite. Pitts was lining up outside and Bowers is more inside. Okay. So it's just that even it's a Cooper Kupp or a T. Higgins comparison.
Right. You know, I will say, I think for those that reason, almost exactly, Pitts being outside so much, I felt like his like franchise killing potential as a pick was much higher than Brock Bowers. And I liked Kyle Pitts. I was just like so worried he was going to end up somewhere, but they did not use him properly.
He did.
And I am
more to go to a winning team, like a team that was already set. They're luxury picks. They really are, but it's like, they're luxury picks that could put you over the freaking top. They're
high end luxury picks. Yeah, it's a dangerous game to be playing.
It is.
With a high end.
That's why I want him with the Rams, because it's like McVay will use them right, and I have no worries about it. Like,
I would trust him to do the right thing. You know, a team like the Jets. I've seen the Jets. In the Brock Bowers running that to me that's a disaster. I don't trust the Jets at all to know how to use him. I don't know, man. I feel like no matter how good he is, it's gonna require a really good landing spot.
Yep. Nate, we've taken too much of your time. We're actually not even gonna be able to get to running backs. But before we let you out here, Denny, we should have asked this during the quarterback section. He wanted to ask you about something you wrote recently on like smaller quarterbacks from a weight perspective.
Yeah,
not a size perspective,
right?
Not a height perspective.
So I posted about how Jaden Daniels is really light. You know, he was, I think, did he weigh in at 210 or 205?
210.
It was 210.
And then took an awesome Powers PE afterwards.
Right.
Exactly. He's probably eating Taco Bell 5.
Right. So we're talking massive water weight. For much of his career at LSU, he was playing at 190, 195. Mm-hmm. That's probably more like what he'll be playing at.
Yep.
And you guys mentioned on the Athletic Football Show, he didn't go to a small school without like a good weight program or a good nutrition program. He went to LSU. Okay. Like
in the South, man.
Right. If they were going to fatten him up, they were going, they would have done it. Okay.
Right.
And he didn't. So you mentioned on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter, that you have a very small sample of guys that size, not that height, but that weight, who have succeeded in the NFL, and it basically comes down to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's it.
I also wanted to mention real quick, because I listened to the show, I ate it up, I really enjoyed it. Here were my takeaways on Jaden Daniels listening to your recent show on the quarterbacks in this draft class. Jaden Daniels' NFL ceiling is capped because he's not creative. He doesn't throw to the middle of the field, and at LSU, it had nothing to do with play design. He's like Justin Fields. If Fields were 30 pounds lighter, had a much weaker arm, and were slower. Mm-hmm. His closest comp is Rich Gannon.
Okay, yeah, I threw out a Rich. I said that was like maybe his high-end comp is Rich.
High-end comp. I do feel like, and I this confirmed my priors, which I appreciate. I feel like Jaden Daniels is a coach-killing, franchise-destroying pick in the first five picks in the first round, period.
Yeah, your words,
my words.
I will not. I'm gonna leave it hanging, because I'm not shaking my head no. That's why he's 20th on my big board and not top five. I am not taking the bait on this, because there's just so many alarm bells. The weight one, and that's what blows my mind. It's not height, it's weight. It's boxers aren't heavyweights because they're both 6'4". You know, they're heavyweights because they're above a weight class. That's what drives me insane about a physical sport, that we just throw out weight like it's nothing. The quarterback one, so I looked at quarterbacks under 205.
Yeah.
And that's really 210 is the threshold, but I went even 205 because there's no way he's 210. And with his frame and everything, and this is also his age. He's older. And most of the growing happens, God, I don't even want to get all of this, but it's like 20, 21, 22. And then usually you're kind of filled out by that point and maybe put on 5 pounds. But when I looked at it, and I could go full history, but just since the year 2000, there's only quarterbacks that just started 14 or more games. I'm looking at no other statistical thing here. Just started 14 or more games, 205 pounds or less in a single season. Kirk Cousins, Doug Flutie, Jeff Garcia, Bryce Young.
It's not good.
That's it. Just Whoa, started.
Hold on. It's not calamitous. There's some interesting, you know, Doug Flutie did some interesting things.
After 10 years in Canada. Yeah.
Sure. He had to go play with the Alouettes for 10 years. But, right.
But that's another thing. Oh, and Aaron Brooks. That was the other one. That's a fourth round pick, Doug Flutie. Who was, you know, depends on where Trump drafted him, but it's like,
that's not a joke.
I think he was number one pick there. but Jeff Garcia, undrafted.
And then treated very unfairly.
And then, Bryce, yeah. Sorry. But that's just, again, that's just started. But then if you looked at, I looked at just one stat where I just did adjusted, I think net yards per attempt. And I, because it's nice where you can look at, I think it was 7 yards or more.
Yeah.
Or is it 6 yards or more? Yeah. It's top 50 percentile, whatever. It's like an above average season for a quarterback. It's the only quarterbacks that have hit that since 2000 is Kirk Cousins 4 times and Jeff Garcia once. So we're just saying, not only just starting, there's barely any guys, but just having an above average season. What we're saying, this guy's a starter right away. Two guys, and only one did it multiple seasons, and that's Kirk Cousins, who's already a fourth round pick outlier. So I don't know. That's a lot of alarm bells just off of one thing, and then the other alarm bells throwing over the middle, because guys only get worse at that at the NFL. They don't get better. It's too hard.
Man.
And I've compared it to shooting threes. It's, you know, you can learn it in the NBA if you do that stuff, but in football, that's the juiciest spot to throw. And that's why I love May and I really like Williams. He never does it. And the excuse is, well, what you would do too if you had those receivers on the outside. He never did in his entire career. Didn't matter what the receivers were. Didn't matter what the offense was.
Right.
It gets harder at the NFL. There's bodies there. It's just, and the fact that he doesn't do it, he's playing like Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones. Those are the other guys right now with this statistical profile. He's an outlier weight-wise. That's a lot of alarm bells that people are ignoring. And that's before that we get into, he's 24 years old, that started 50 or more games and still has other stuff. So thank you for letting me get to that because I kind of just been like beating around the bush around it, kind of going like, I don't know. There's a lot of alarm bells here, guy.
I think it's worth mentioning. I have been reminded on the X platform that he won the Heisman.
That is
something you're not incorporating that into your evaluation, Nate. That's what I want to say.
Did I watch him run past Florida? You know, it's like the Florida defense sucks until it's draft time, and then it becomes an SEC defense. That's what happens. It's a Florida defense. Oh my God, that defense coordinator sucks. Look at these guys running around. In February, it's an SEC defense. Look at that speed. He ran by SEC defenders, right? How many of you guys go? It's hilarious to me. That's the other one that always gets me. He's beating an NFL corner. No. That's a college corner.
Literally a college corner.
Yeah. That's not an NFL. Yeah. He might get drafted. Like, how many guys are those? Like, how many corners are there that we say are good in the NFL? You're saying that guy's better than that? So that's another thing that was grinds my gears.
You guys just got Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't mean this. Like, his case is he's got to be special. He's got to continue to be special. And that's just like a hope and a prayer.
If he were flipped with McCarthy as far as age wise, all that, I'd be way more like, hey, okay, he can learn these things to get better at it. It's a lot of starts and good situations with, I think, a good coach. I know he's a, kind of a memed guy, but Brian Kelly, like those offenses are like, he's memed, but it's those offenses aren't bad. Like, I watch that offense, it's sound, they do the right things. I watch North Carolina half the time, I'm going like, what is this? What are you guys? I watch USC, Lincoln Riley gets Cliff in there and they lose their mind last year. And I'm just like watching it. Like, I can't translate what they're doing. So I have to watch. I watch Daniels every play. I know what they're trying to accomplish. And that's, again, we kind of is like, all right, where are we growing here? Literally from a size perspective, but also like mentally, because he's already got maxed out in a good offense. Like, again, it doesn't get easier. And where's the room to grow? So,
right. The deep ball and the mobility, and that's it. There's nothing else.
And that's Hurts at 30 pounds lighter. or Fields at 30 pounds lighter. You know,
I guess if you guys are having this conversation, I mean, I'm assuming some, maybe he'll be like the big surprise guy. Yeah. Like, oh, all spring, I thought he was going top three. And it's
how
like
much I'm getting yelled at the last couple of weeks, man. It's I know it's the guys that have him won. I've been really kind of going like, really?
Okay. Really? All right. Quietly like, removing them from like your list, like your draft writer list on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Nate, you said you had 35, 40 minutes.
What do we do?
I really hope you didn't have an appointment to get to. Yeah.
No.
Because we blew by that.
I'm telling you, it's the safest bet. Always bet the over. You can do it every single time. I'm the opposite of a Service Academy game in college football, where you always take the under. You always take the over with me.
Well, our listeners know to take the over on Denny and I. So yeah, we probably had no chance. But really, really appreciate your time. You got to follow Nate on Twitter, @Nate_Tice. You have to listen to the Athletic Football Show. You have to check out what he's been pumping out for Yahoo. Nate, any final word you need to get out there? Draft, what, 2 weeks away? How is that even possible?
When it come. Just get here. Yes. 2 weeks. Yes. 2 weeks too long. No, but thank you guys. I mean, this was awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me. This
Thanks, a ton Nate. Of fun.
Thank you so much for Nate making the time for us. And please check out Nate. Everywhere I just mentioned Nate. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll be right back after this. Get your weekday started with Bet the Edge. Join Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick as they break down the NFL draft, NBA, and much more. New episodes drop at 6 a.m. Eastern on the NBC Sports YouTube channel, and you can find them in podcast form wherever you download and subscribe. So whether you're looking to get involved in draft props or futures or wagers, check out Jay and Drew for more insight. Don't forget, this Saturday, the Premier League continues on NBC, where Bruno Fernandes and Manchester United look to keep pace in the top half of the table when they face Bournemouth. The matchup begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, only on NBC and Peacock.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talking about names, Bruno Fernandes is like one of the most difficult names to pronounce in the entire world.
And you do it well.
Promo. I do. It's spelled Fernandez, but he says Fernandes, I believe. And that one was, yeah, that one was, it was hard. I panicked when I saw that there.
I would have passed out.
Really, really good stuff from Nate. But now that he's gone, we can find his riff about the eclipse for the final 10 minutes. It has been bugging me. You said you fell for the eclipse scam. Would you say scam?
I don't know. Like the idea. Yeah, I was just making fun of the idea that you had to wear glasses to look up because
you definitely do.
Back in 2017, we had Odell Beckham looking at the eclipse without glasses. We had the President of the United States looking at the eclipse without glasses. So I actually thought that it would catch on. Like this is like they're selling these glasses to profit off of you or something. Like look what they took from you, like a real view of the sun. But I did use the glasses. And it was pretty awesome.
I was in the path of totality for the second time, and
that's cool.
It is a truly special experience.
Did it get completely dark?
It does. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get like pitch black dark. Uh-huh. But it gets like all like the lights come on, you know, and like the temperature drops 10 to 15 degrees. It's like basically like I would say 15 minutes before complete darkness at night, that kind of dark.
Okay.
You don't get to pitch black, but you get to like deep dusk.
That's cool.
And it's very, you know, it's unnerving in like in a good way. So it's an amazing, if you can ever check it out. The next one is not in the continental United States for 20 years. And the next big one is not for 21
years. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like having one in 2017 and then one in 2024 has kind of fooled people into thinking that this is going to happen every once in a while. It doesn't. Like, I saw some posts yesterday on the X platform where people were saying, you know, what's the big deal? This happens all the time. And the you know, rebuttal is no, it doesn't.
It does not. Most certainly the 2044 one goes to Glacier National Park and I believe both Dakotas. So that's the only places it's hitting.
Really?
In the contiguous United States. 2045, it's cutting another swath through the heartland. So begin planning for 21 years from now.
That's interesting. Yeah. I did see that hotel rooms in Missouri and Ohio and other parts of the country and the
Path of Totality.
We're going for like five times their normal price.
And so, you know, I lived 50 miles from where, so in 2017, we were in the path, which was, that's what got me addicted to eclipses. So I'm like, I can't miss this one. But, you know, I felt like we're literally 50 miles outside of where the path began. So like Monday morning, we'll get up just a little early. We'll start driving and we'll get there easily. I wanted to drive to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is normally 2 hours away. And we made it 58 miles, but we made it inside the path. I had to settle. It took 4 hours to drive.
58. Wow, really?
How gridlocked it was.
Wow.
But I made it to Bloomsdale, Missouri, a town I had never heard of. And this is not a joke. Watched the eclipse from a gas station, like berm, but it was amazing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was very American. It was sort of Phillips 66, like side lawn.
I was among many parents picking up their kids early from school to get to our deck on time to view the eclipse, and it was a line of parents just begging their kids to hustle up and let's get in the car because we got to get there.
So to the folks who maintain the berm at the Phillips 66 I-55 gas station in Bloomsdale, Missouri, we are props to you. we managed to get into the path of totality. We managed to end this pod. I mean, is there anything to talk about here?
Anthony Richardson is throwing footballs.
Yeah, I thought I told you before. Didn't we just talk about that?
Yeah,
is he actually throwing now, or is he like claiming he's going to be?
He's throwing 40 footballs a day and no more.
Is that serious?
Yeah. The Athletic reported that. Yeah.
Wow. It's on the Athletic. You know, it's true.
Same yeah. Yeah. So I guess that means that he's ahead. Everybody's ahead of schedule, obviously, on all injuries. But
it's true.
Anthony, no one has ever been more ahead of schedule than Anthony Richardson right now with his shoulder injury.
Yeah. So, man, Anthony Richardson, he was like one of the guys last year, like the make or break guys. He's just the make or break again for 20.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you're not going to get any discount on him.
No, you're not. The crowd has become so sharp that, yeah, no one drafts like he barely played last year.
I mean, yeah. So the idea, like, we got spoiled because I think before Lamar's 2019 MVP season, he was going in like the 10th round of drafts. And it's something like I could not understand. Like, what are you doing? What are we doing with this?
He was one of the very last ones.
And that was it. We're never going to have that luxury again. Like we know that to crack the code, you got to have a rushing quarterback. And Anthony Richardson was highly, highly efficient as a rusher. If only he could, you know, stay upright.
Just don't lower your shoulder directly into people and you'll be totally fine.
That'd be good.
It'll be totally fine for us to end the show. We'll be back though on Thursday. Denny and I have Mr. Kyle Dvorak. We have absolutely no clue what we're going to talk about.
more eclipse talk.
Yeah. The top 10 Pat eclipse moments. You and Kyle are both falling asleep. And then when I saw the look on my kid's face, guys, Kyle's like, I'm never having kids. And like, let's move on, please. Like, but you don't understand.
Right.
No, it was special.
Number three moment was finding that the Gatorade in the gas station was half off.
So, and by the way, the gas station employees did. I heard them debating like how long they could spend outside. They had gotten permission from corporate. This is not a joke to go watch the eclipse, and so they did. No one's manning the gas station, so I stole two blue Powerades. Never
drank. The cops are coming.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So for Denny Carter. For Nate Tice, I am Patrick Daugherty. We hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back on Thursday with Kyle.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.